it's not very comfortable to kind of do things this way. It's a little sad looking inside, and I'm sure it's probably not all that comfortable outside. However, I appreciate whatever decision that needs to be made per individual family as to what they want to do here. So nobody should be feeling bad or awkward or anything like that. We don't know, so you got to be careful. All right, we've moved on in our Sunday school lesson to the letter T. The letter T standing for tithing, and with that, we're going to throw in the idea of stewardship as well. And this lesson goes right to the heart of the relationship we have with God, right? I got my consumer's bill, and I paid the consumer's bill to the penny of what I owed. Why? Because that's what I owe them. I did not give them more. Why? Because it's consumers. They're not my buddy. They're a bill, right? When it came down to pumping gas, we get to the down to the cent that we put into it. That is what we pay. Why? Because it is a bill. Now, let me ask you this. When you go to a birthday party, or more likely at this time of year, a graduation party, how much do you owe the person you're giving that gift to? Well, we wouldn't think that way, would we? There's not a thought process that goes along with what is that person owed. We would give to them as well as we would know them. We would give to them as well as what we would love them, right? So, for instance, if I'm going to a graduation party and I've never met the person, that's going to be a whole lot different than what I put into a card when my cousin or somebody closer to me were to graduate. Now, why do we do that? It's the amount of love. So when we're talking about tithing, that's what we mean when we say that it comes down to the relationship we have with God. There are many folks who go long periods of time without tithing, and it doesn't bother them at all. Why? Because that relationship between them and the Lord is suffering, right? As we understand, salvation is a free gift from God. Eternal security is a sure promise of God. In other words, we do nothing to get saved or to remain saved. And not only should we praise the Lord for that, but again, that should endear us to Him. So when He asks for certain things, when there are certain responsibilities that need to be met, we need to be able to jump into those, right? When we're born again, we are adopted into the family of God. We are His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. In any family, the children have responsibilities. And in this study, we're going to learn about one of our responsibilities when it comes down to the Lord, or actually it's going to be more than one. To give an illustration, yesterday, it's been most of the last week, my mom had it in her heart to go over to my grandma's house and renovate the front landscape. Now, my grandfather spent much of his life in that yard, doing things in his yard, building up things, putting layers upon layers upon layers of volcanic rock out there. Well, guess if my mom's going out there, my mom's not... from years of working on things, her knees aren't as good as they used to be. Her back isn't as good as they used to be. And what she wanted was bags of these 50-pound bags of river rocks. And I'm sitting there going, Ma, there's no way you're going to be able to move those. She goes, don't worry, I'll figure it out. And either that was her plan to figure out by telling me that she'll figure it out or not. I'm like, all right, I'm there. And I was there, and my cousin was there, and my uncle was there. Now listen, I do not spend a lot of time at my grandmother's house. I did not help put that landscape in for me because I'm going to look at it and I'm going to enjoy it. I did it because Mom had a task in her head and I'm going to be there, right? Now, not for everything, but I can be there. I will be there, right? Now we see nowadays there's not a lot of familial responsibility in this world. It needs to be there. Right? So at a particular point, the parent stops taking care of the child, and after a given period of time, the child is there to take care of the parents. It is a wonderful circle of love. If we see it as responsibility, it will break down. If we see it as love and my way of showing and demonstrating love to be there and care for that person, it will be different. And that is the difference between how a child of God sees giving to the church and how perhaps a more carnally minded person would see it. There's always differences in the understanding there, and we're going to talk about that. So first, let's just talk about stewardship. Before we go anywhere, we've got to read a couple verses. Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Which says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who owns the earth and everything? God does. He created it. He made it. The coins in your pocket, the car in your driveway, it all belongs to God. Right? There's not a thing on earth that man made that God did not give him both the energy, the strength, and of course also the resources to do. Right? About that old joke where science has discovered a way to create human beings. And they say, we no longer need God because we can create human beings on our own. Right? We can sit there, we push this button, some chemicals go through, and poof, there's a human being. I guess some dirt just the way God did. We figured it out. So they're sitting there and they're challenging God. They say, all right, Lord, we can do it the same way you did. And they go to reach down to grab some dirt up to put it into their machine. And God goes, get your own dirt. It's not ours. We take care of the things that we have, but ultimately they are not ours. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold. We don't even own the money that we have. Right? Now, many of you, you're sitting there and you can think, I worked for X amount of years. I made this kind of investment with it. I've got this kind of retirement set up. None of that was possible without God. And as a matter of fact, we've seen this before and we're inching closer and closer to it. The money we have could very easily be worth nothing. We are on God's providence with this stuff. But ultimately, it belongs to Him. God has been able to shift great volumes of fortune left and right from one person to the other at a mere whim, right? All the money belongs to God. Exodus 19:5, again, the Lord reiterates, for all the earth is mine. So basically, everything that ever was or ever will be belongs to God. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. We should be familiar with it. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And folks, that's where we are with our things. They belong to God, but he put them in our hands. Now, just like Joseph, God has also given us some things that we're not allowed to touch, right? In Potiphar's case, you can't touch my wife. But for God, we've got the rules that God has given us, things that we can or cannot do, and we are to be obedient in those things. Again, responsibility, responsibility, responsibility. These things, we haven't earned them. We haven't really put much into anything that God has given us that he hasn't given us the ability to do. If you worked 45 years, right? God gave you those 45 years. God gave you strength and energy. God gave you the resources. He gave you the mind that he has, or the mind that he had given you, right? It all came down to God giving these things. All right, so as Joseph took care of the things of Potiphar, we too must take care of the things that God has given us. And that even goes down to the people that God has put into our lives. We are to be the who we're supposed to be in those relationship roles based on our devotion, again, to God. We owe that to the Lord. You know, you sit there and, you know, we hear stories about work. Why should I be this kind of employee? Well, very simply, because I represent the Lord. But my boss does this and my boss does that, and they're not a very nice guy, and they're mean to me. My grandma lives across the street from one of the McDonald's that I used to be a maintenance person at. But that store manager was so ugly and so awful to her employees, right? Nobody liked her. She'd cut them down. She'd call them stupid, call them names. Really a bad individual. Why do you show up on time? Because I owe it to God. I don't care if my boss is kind of a mean person. I'm not hurting them. I'm hurting the Lord. Why do I work through with a smile on my face? Not because of you, but because of my Lord. I represent Him. He gave me the energy to wake up this morning. He gave me the car to drive into work this morning. He gave me this job. I'm going to work it. Again, it all belongs to God, so we treat it as though it belongs to God. Now, stewardship, by definition, is the management of the affairs of another. Matthew 25:14, that's the parable of the master who entrusts his wealth down to some of his servants. Again, a wonderful relationship to how we are. Some of us, we take what God gives us and we put it to use and we do really well with it. Some of us do it and we're not maybe as good as others, but we're still doing something with what God has given us. And then there are those that do absolutely nothing for the Lord. They sit on their salvation, they barely make it through the services, and they try to figure out what's going on with their lives. Why is it that God is not so happy? Well, you took what He gave you and you buried it, and you did nothing with it. And of course, we understand that's going to come back and bite you. Now, we also see that every Christian, by that merit, is a steward. If you're a saved child of God, you've been given something that you should be doing something with, right? You've been given your salvation. You've been given another chance. So with your forgiveness, there comes responsibility. Number one, you have a responsibility to this book. You have a responsibility to your relationship with God. You have a responsibility as a church member, once you're saved, to become a church member. As a church member, it is your job to carry out the Great Commission. We all have responsibility. We are all stewards. And of course, we know from 1 Corinthians 4:2 that it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. That's what you want. Wouldn't you want, if you're the employer of a business, that whoever you told to do something would snap right at it and take care of it? That's what we would want. And hey, if you're sitting there and you're having a conversation with a family member and you're of need of them, wouldn't it be good to know that they would be there for you? Right? And has God not been faithful to you? If God's been faithful to you, and I know He has, we ought to be found faithful in Him, right? Again, I love Him. I would be there for Him, right? I got on the phone one time with a lady at work at Paragon when I was doing the properties, and they were wanting me to go over and check on Mom every day. Please go check on my mom. And at one particular point, I said, hey, listen, I do not mind checking on her health, making sure she's okay, but hey, listen, why don't you come down and get Mom a cell phone? Why don't you come down and visit Mom? Why don't you make sure Mom's refrigerator has food in it? Why don't you make sure she's taking a shower? It's not my job. I'll do it because I'm concerned for her. But why don't you make sure she has the things that she needs? Oh, well, yeah, listen, I don't appreciate your tone. We love our mom so very much, and just went on and on and on about how great a kids they are, how faithful they were to give their property manager a call. To have them go, look, this is not a senior living facility. I've got no response. I've got no right to go over to her house, knock on the door, and check her refrigerator. I got no right to that. She's a grown person living her life. Well, of course, that was the lady who eventually did pass away. No cell phone. No phone at all in the house. No way to communicate to the outside world that she was having a heart attack. right? Well, we love our mom, we do that. No, if you loved your mom, you would be faithful to her, right? If you love the Lord, if you recognize that he saved your undeserving soul, you will be faithful to him. Now, there are different areas of stewardship that we must consider, all right? Number one, time. Number one is your time. If we sit there and we dole out the hours, right? You know me, I like a calendar, I like a schedule, right? If I line up my hours, how many of those hours belong to the Lord? And I know we could be cute. Oh, Lord, all hours belong to the Lord, yeah. But how many do you give back to him? How many do you give back to him? Now listen, so all right, I go to Sunday school. I go to Sunday services. I show up for prayer band and afternoon services. Some of you in the choir, right? You go, all right, that's a good, all right, most of my Sunday goes to the Lord. Praise the Lord, that's good. And I'm here on Wednesday. Well, that's awesome too. Great, you're here on Wednesday. Love that. But you take those hours, you do the math, and you compare that to the rest of your time. Even if you remove the hours for sleeping, the healthy amount of hours for sleeping, you'll look at that and the hours you have left in the week and you go, uh-oh. Where are my hours for prayer? Where are my hours for Bible reading? Where are my hours spent in giving of the gospel? Where are the hours spent or the time spent in conversing in Scripture and being an encouragement and pointing others to the Lord by my testimony? Where is that in there? Now listen, our time cannot always be spent in the service of the Lord. You should take a shower and brush your teeth and take up a hobby. You should have those things. You should have enjoyments and relaxations. But really look at the hours and ask yourself, am I giving to the Lord what it is that he deserves in this? Right? Ephesians 5:16 reminds us to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Right? Not so much that our time would be taxed, that if God's given me the week, I got to give him X amount of time. No, am I giving the time to the Lord that is due him? And if we're not careful, we will neglect the Lord with our time. We've got to redeem it. We've got to make good value of it. If I were to go to my children and say, kids, go on upstairs, or I'll use a better illustration when we were cleaning up the yard. Boys, go out, pick up sticks. Now listen, here's how this goes with them. They're going to pick up sticks for like three trips of sticks. Then one of them's going to go start swinging the sticks around the backyard. One of them's going to start throwing it for the dog. All right? And then there's going to be Xander. All right, guys, come on. Until he notices that dad's not coming out to check on them. And he'll start playing and swinging around the sticks. Now, they sat there, and the first time we were cleaning out the yard, they spent hours trying to pick these things up and not getting anywhere with it. I said, all right, boys, this is what we're going to do. And I lined them up, had them walk from one end to the other, turn around, walk back my way. And we kind of walked through it together. We were done in 15 minutes. Now, what was the difference? They were not using their time intelligently. They were not using it right. Many of us, that's what we do. We play a little bit here, play a little bit there, play too much, and easily we neglect the job that we came out there to do. So, oh, well, I'm tired. I had a very busy day. Well, that's great, but how much of that was used properly? Was used properly. You know, when you sit there and you're working 10 to 12 hour shifts, you still owe that to the Lord to make sure you're getting your time with him in. And again, it's not about a tax of time. It's not about how do I sequester the right amount of time. It's making sure that I've got time in there to show that it's a relationship. And it demonstrates the strength of the relationship I want to have with the Lord. Right? According to James 4:14, our lifetime is compared to a vapor. It's compared to as being a vapor. I mean, think about it. Just yesterday, some of you may feel as though you were just kids yesterday. And now you blink and here you are at whatever stage you're in. Right? Some of you are excited about it feels like you can remember the time when you were excited that you started your job. You know, and many of you are tired or about to, you go, oh, wow, that went fast. Well, that's how life goes. It's a vapor. It's only going to be here for so long. We've got to be able to demonstrate wisdom in how we use that time. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So what we're seeing here is kind of a neat little thing. It's a whole sermon in and of itself. Is what's being said is we have spent so much time in the dark. We have spent so much time asleep, right? Before you were saved, it was all folly, right? It was all selfish pursuits, and it was all making the money and things that don't have an eternal value. May have a tremendous amount of here value, but not a lot of eternal value, right? Yes, you made the car payment. Yes, you took care of the house. Yes, you sent the kids and made sure that they were okay. Yes, you paid off the braces. All the things that you do, right? You did the right here valuable things, but none of an eternal value. What's being said here is now is the time, because we don't know how much time we've got left. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. We've wasted so much time in the front nine. We've really got to clean up the score here. We've really got to put the effort in. Because again, time is not something any of us are guaranteed. All right, so we've got to make sure that we're doing things. Now, 2 Timothy 2:4, we know this. It says that we are not to be entangled into the affairs of this life. Now, here's the thing. How can I have life and not be entangled in the affairs? Don't I need a job? Don't I need to take care of the responsibilities that I have here? Yes, you do, but don't become entangled in them. A good illustration of this right here is a person who is called to preach, and they feel that the Lord is pushing them towards full-time ministry, but they like their job too much, or they like the money they're making too much, so they don't make that decision for the Lord. Or a job telling you, you're laying down rules that you've got to disobey the Lord. No, I'm going to serve him in the way that I should. I will not become so entangled or so wrapped up in these things that it would pull me away from the Lord, cause me to slip or stop me from serving him in the capacity that I'm supposed to. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. One of the more valuable things that come down to church attendance is number one, the feeding of the flock. It is the learning, it is the preaching of the word. It is the instruction in the word that we received. But secondary to that is the time that we get to spend together. A church is only as healthy as they spend time together. Now, that doesn't mean that we all ought to move into the same commune. I don't think we'd all get along that way. But we should spend some time together here. We should spend some time in the preaching of God's word. We ought to be in church when we've got the ability to do so. Now, right now, it is kind of weird. We got some folks at home, some out in the parking lot, some in here. It's a little weird, but we got to do what we got to do. The point that I'm trying to make here is that it is valuable for us to be at church. That is part of the time that we spend with God, part of the time that we spend with each other. It is the proper spending of time. Again, there is nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with having fun, and absolutely nothing wrong with making money. However, we cannot do it at the expense of time with the Lord. Now, we kind of talked about this a little bit previously, about the amount of time that we spend here and around the house of the Lord. If you're here for Sunday school, you're here for the morning preaching, if you're here for the evening preaching and the midweek prayer, and you might even come for, let's say, the coffee fellowships and the ladies and the men fellowship. Given the week, you're spending anywhere from 7 to 8 hours minimum here at the church, maybe a little less. Right, 8 hours minimum, 8 hours per week is less than 5% of the total time God gives us. right? It's about 7% of our total hours awake. And if we've got a 40-hour a week job, which that varies, it's about 10% of our available time just being here at church. Now, again, we're not trying to make sure that we hit a proper percentage, but hey, I want to give, and being here with the Lord is one of the best ways to give of our time. And not just of our time, but of our talents. Many of you, you've got skills. Your minds work in a certain way, and that is a valuable thing. It's an important thing. We ought to give of our available talents. In the Bible days, this was, if we use the word talent itself, it was a very expensive coin. But today we often use the word talent to refer to a natural God-given ability. If you're a good musician, if you're an artist, if you're a creative type, if you're an educator, if you've got the ability to teach, and there's many others that we can put on there. You know, we had a kid coming up at Flat Rock who was good at sports and very little less. Guess what? We put you in charge of game time over here when we got the kids together. This is what we did. If you've got ability, we'll find a spot to serve the Lord with it. And that's the point. If there's something you're good at, find a way to serve the Lord with it, because he gave that to you for a reason. Now, again, talents don't just belong to God's people. There are a lot of people that make billions of dollars, millions of dollars, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars on their talents a year. However, if we've got it, we need to make sure we're being able to serve the Lord with it. And I do believe this, that everybody has talent. This isn't like a little Disney movie. Like a Disney story I'm telling. I do believe everybody's got their own talents. Everybody's got their own way of doing things that can benefit, you know, other people. And I think we've all got them. No matter how you feel about yourself, you're good at something. Now, did we all receive the same number of talents? No. There was a young man. I came up with Flat Rock, Tim Cavanaugh. He's preached here a couple times. You know what? Lord called us both to preach. Lord gave him the ability to music. And I kind of bothered him. But no, it gave him the ability to understand, hear, read music, right? We were both called to preach, but God gave him a different set of talents, right? Now, I don't know what else I've got, but I don't even know if I've got this. But we've all got our own talents, and God gives us different amounts. Now, does that make one, like say somebody's got five different really cool things they can do, then you got somebody like me who's still struggling to figure out what they can do, is one more valuable than the other? No. No. You know, I've got tools in my kitchen can do five things. I've got tools in my kitchen can do one thing. But that does not mean I value one over the other. They're there for a particular reason, especially after moving and I've just getting to this, no, let's throw it away kind of mentality. No. If you survived and you're in the new house, I value you, right? That's the way the Lord sees us, right? Well, you may be really good at slicing apples, but we eat a lot of apples here. You're valuable. Right? It is not. He didn't give it to us based on how he likes us. He doesn't give us talents based on our perceived value or the value he wants to put into us. We all have talent. Lord loves us all the same. Now, according to... No, we're going to skip past that. Skip past that just a little bit. Now, when we've lived our lives and we've served the Lord, and we've exercised our talents, and we've done everything that we're supposed to do, there will come a time when we stand before the Lord, and we've got to demonstrate what we have done with it. And I do believe that there will be a distinction in us based on what we could have done versus what we did do. If we've got a tremendous amount of talent and we've got the ability and we had tons of the opportunity, I think we're going to answer for the fact that we didn't show up with as much, right? And then again, we get delight out of serving the Lord. We serve the Lord because we love him. It's not about the rewards, but we do have to answer to the Lord as to whether or not we lived up to our potential. Lord, hey, listen, you've given me all this. You gave me all this time. You gave me all this health. You gave me all this strength. You gave me two or three talents that I could have put to use, but this was the best that I gave you. We ought to be able to use those things and put them to work in a proper way. Now, many Christians throw up their hands and say, I can't do anything. Can I tell you something about this, about ego worship? Ego worship has two ugly sides. Number one, how great I think I am. Number two, how incredibly important it is to me that you understand how bad of a person I am. I have no talent. I am no good. I am no... tell me the whole sob story about how worthless you are. That's ego worship too, by the way. It's what it is. Oh, come through. I'm nothing much. I'm not all that important. We're talking a whole lot about ourselves for someone who doesn't think we're so important. If you can do stuff, do it. If you can't do stuff, either rely on somebody else, learn how to do it, or whatever have you. But this sitting around trying to put value on ourselves, or to take the pressure off of ourselves of being a certain perceived value, is a joke. We all have the same value as children of God. We do. And maybe you can do a thing, maybe you can't do a thing. That doesn't matter. There's no need for the pity party. There's no need for being miserable. You can either do a thing or you can't do a thing. However, according to Philippians 4:13, we know that we can do all things through Christ. We can do all things through Christ. You know what? Initially, I may struggle with this. This may not be something that I've got a natural talent for, but God will enable me to do what it is He's asked of me to do. Again, the pity party has to stop. Right? Now, sometimes we lose abilities due to age or physical restriction. Again, not with the pity party. What God wants you to do, you will be able to do. Right? If God meant for you to be out there knocking on 100 doors, you'd have good knees, a strong back, and just a jitter in your step as you went, right? If that was God's plan for you. But as our bodies go, His plans change for us. Not that He gets a better idea, but He understands you, and He loves you, and He knows you. Right? So He goes, all right, at this point, I'm going to have them doing this. And then the next decade, they'll be doing this. And then over here, I'm going to have them praying, and I'm going to have them leading and mentoring, right? They can't be out there running like they used to, but now they've got wisdom, now they've got knowledge, and this is what we're going to do. Right? So we trust in the Lord and His ability to make you do the things, or help you to do the things that you need to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this, that